Amen. That's good. That's a good song. Amen. The sweeter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Isn't that so true? The longer it goes, the sweeter, the better it gets. All right? That's right. take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I am praying for two boys, so... I mean, there's probably a 99% chance they're girls, but there's that 1% chance I can get. So, no, but Lord has blessed us with not having one, but twins. So, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And we thought, you know, yeah, we can have one. You know, that's great. I think we're financially ready for it and all that. And the Lord said, ha, here's two. He said, you're never financially ready, so just here you go. Go with it. No, but I take it as a double blessing from the Lord. You know, the Lord has tremendously just blessed us, just crazy. And I can't begin to tell you how much, just like that song she sang, the more and more I just live my life, you know, for God, the better it gets. And I'm not saying there's not trials at all. I'm not saying there's, you know, you never have a flat tire in your car because you're a Christian, but, you know, you have those things come your way. But the Lord has just blessed us. I truly think if everyone in this room were to just stop and think about their life, and you were to think about the things that you've gone through, maybe some bad things, maybe some good things, I would honestly think that almost everyone in this room, their good would definitely outweigh their bad. And I think just having breath, just having life, you know, is something that you can be thankful for. Living in America, you know, I'm glad I'm not on lockdown in China today. You know, stuck in my home all day long. And I can't, if I say one word about the Bible, I'm going straight to jail. You know, we are so blessed in America today, in our country. And just the thing, and I know our country is in a hairball right now, and it's messed up, and we're going through some things that you know, you never thought of. But I'll say this, is that America is, trust me, it's better than almost any other country you could ever go to. China and Russia and North Korea, I mean, you just think about other countries, and we have it pretty good here. But I'm getting off on a rabbit trail this morning, but no, I'm thankful. Whatever the Lord gives me, I'm thankful for. If He gives me two girls, I'll take them. If He gives me two boys, I'll take them, you know. They're no, I can't send them back, so that's kind of a I have no choice. There's no choice, so I have to take them. But oh man, but Luke chapter 8 in your Bibles this morning. Luke chapter 8, we'll read verses 4 through 18. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. And it says there, and when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And some fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when He had said these things, He cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, and His disciples asked Him, saying, what might this parable be? And He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now this parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed here, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Let's go ahead and pray before we begin the service this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord God, we are so grateful for this church and what it means to me and the things that have gone on in this church and the people in this church, Lord God, who are encouragement to me and my family. And I thank you, Lord, so much for all the many things that you've given to me. And Lord God, I ask and I pray that you would bless this service and help these people, Lord God, to hear from you and not from me, and help help the sick today that are sick and the people who aren't here, Lord God. I pray that you would help them be convicted, Lord, to get back in church and to start living a life, Lord God, where they can bring forth good fruit. And Lord God, be at this service. Bless this service. Use us in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this chapter here, in this story here, we have the parable of the sower. And we have here is Jesus is speaking to these people, and he's telling them another parable. And Jesus, a lot of times, he speaks in parables. He speaks in stories so that we can understand it better. And in this parable, he's talking about a seed. In verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, stay in the soil. Stay in the soil. Don't get out of the soil. Me and my coworkers, last week, we were tilling up the ground in front of this place that we were about to put sod on. Now, if we were to go out there and we were to lay the sod down on the concrete and then water it and water it and water it, come back and it just falls apart, and we look at each other and say, why is it not growing? What? It's turning brown. It's not even growing. Now, that would be foolish, right? We all know that you've got to plant that plant, or you've got to put that sod on a good foundation, on a good soil. Not on a rock, not on a something where the birds can get to it. It's got to be on a good soil. And we tilled that ground up, and we tilled that ground up to make it to where those roots from that sod can get into that ground. And it can be beautiful and nice. A nice lawn is what they wanted. But you've got to put that in the soil. In this parable, Jesus is talking about the seed is the word of God. He says there in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And by the way, every Christian here today should be spreading the seed. We should be taking the seed. We should be spreading it to our neighbors. We should be spreading it to our friends. We should be spreading it to our coworkers. We should be spreading it to our families. We should be throwing it out, and our basket should be empty, and we should be getting more and more and more. And that's what we should be doing in our Christian lives. Now, God, Jesus in this parable talks about some of the seeds who don't make it to the soil. Some of the seeds who don't get in the good soil. Now, what happens if I plant, if I go outside and I throw a seed onto the concrete? The birds are going to come and take it and eat it, and it'll be gone. You see, I can't get my fruit unless I till the ground and I plant it in good soil. You see, and the same thing is with you today, is you will not have fruit to your account unless you take the word of God and you take it and apply it to your life and you put it in good, godly soil. The Bible in here, my first one is that the fowls devoured it. Verse 5, and a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, if you look down at verse 12, it explains what it is. Now, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, I'd be a fool to tell you today if I were to never tell you on how you can be saved. I'd be a fool to get behind this pulpit and never ever once tell y'all how you can know in your heart how to be saved. So I want to tell you that today is the number one how to be saved is that you have to realize that you are a sinner. Because before I say this, I don't want you to fall by the wayside. This first seed is the seed that falls by the wayside and the fowls come and devour it. These are people, this is talking about people who have not been saved. The devil has come and wrecked and ruined their life, and they need a home. They need a person to come to them and tell them and give them that good seed, and their seed needs to be planted in that soil, but the devil is taking it away from them. This is the unsaved person here today, but Jesus offers forgiveness. Number one is that you have to realize that you are a sinner. Everyone in this whole entire building, everyone in this whole entire world has done something wrong. When I was a little boy, my mom would tell me, go and take out the trash. What I want to do? No, I want to play with my toys. And she told me, go take out the trash. And then finally, she said, okay, you disobeyed me. You get your consequence to that. And that was called disobedience. That is a sin that every one of us have probably experienced nowadays. It may not just be disobedience. It could be lying, could be stealing, could be anything. But we've all done something that prohibits us from getting into heaven. You see, heaven is a perfect place, and if you are an imperfect person and you can get into a perfect place, heaven is not perfect anymore. Me as a sinner who has done wrong, I have lived an unholy life. I have done wrong. Number one, you have to realize that you are a sinner. Number two, you have to realize that Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross, and then 3 days later, he arose again. Jesus Christ paid for your sin, so that you can have eternal life someday with them in heaven. Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ lives in my heart. Jesus Christ lives in the saved hearts. And when you stand before God someday and he says, why would I let you into heaven? He's going to look at my heart and see if it's washed with Jesus' blood, that I've accepted his son. No, it's not the baptism. No, it's not you got to work your way to there. No, it's not you got to confess your sins to the priest. No, it's not something you have to do like that. All you have to do is believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. And he can save you from your sin. Number two, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. Number three, you have to believe in your heart and accept him into your heart. You see, I cannot, my wife's in here this morning, I cannot make my wife be saved. I cannot do that. The only person that I know that can be saved is me. The only person that I know 100% sure that is saved is me. I can't tell if Brother Watson's saved. I can't tell if Brother Brandon's saved. I can't tell if Pastor's even saved. I can't tell if Mrs. Larson is saved. I can't tell whoever is saved, but I know for sure that I can know that I am saved. And the Bible is talking about this one seed here, is that this seed is devoured by the fowls of the air. It means that there are lost people out there. It means that these people have gotten themselves on a hard stony ground where they cannot experience the Word of God, where they have not heard the Word of God. You know, there's people in Africa who don't even know the name of Jesus. There's people in Europe who don't even know who Jesus is, never even heard the name. And you know, some of those people may go throughout their whole lives not even knowing about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. How horrible that is. The devil has blinded people's minds into believing it. But the fowls have devoured that seed because that seed was not put in the soil. Get in the soil. Stay in the soil. You are that seed. Stay in the soil. Get rooted. Get grounded. Stay in that soil. Don't ever get on that rock. Don't ever get in a place where the devil can come and take something away from you. Don't ever get in that place where you, especially if you are not saved here this morning. You're just like that seed where the fowls can come and devour. But let me tell you something. If you accept Jesus into your heart, you can be saved and you can get in that good soil. Amen. You can do that this morning. So we have the first seed, the fowls devoured it, which means it's the unsaved. We have the second seed here. It says some fell on a rock. Verse 6, it says, and some fell on upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, if you go down the verses, it explains what kind of seed this is. Verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. There may be someone in here today who is saved, born-again Christian. There may be someone in here today who says, yes, Brother Titus, I am saved. I have done that before. I have taken my seed and I have put it in the soil. That's awesome. That's wonderful. That's where you need to be. Now, what you need to do is to grow as a Christian. Don't ever be that person who gets saved and who starts attending church and all of a sudden you just slip away. All of a sudden, oh, one Sunday you're gone. Oh, the next Sunday, then you're gone. Then the next Sunday, and it's just a chain reaction. Get in the soil. Don't get on the rock. Don't get on the rock. God's given you the soil for a reason. Get in the soil. And once you're in the soil, start to grow. The devil's going to take you out, and he's going to throw you in the trash if he wants to. That's why you have got to get in the soil. And by the way, it doesn't just take one day, and I've never seen a tree grow from a baby, from a seed, all the way to a big tree in one day. It's going to take time. It's going to take time to train your kids up. It's going to take time to try and work to get someone saved. It's going to take time to help other people, to disciple other people, help them grow. It's going to take time. But Jesus is saying here that this second seed, that some fell on the rock, and it withered away because it lacked moisture. I think about this seed that it lacks moisture. And I think about this seed as I think it lacks conviction. You lack a knowledge that you are living in your sin. There are some people in here today who may still be living in their sin, and they've planted their seed on that soil. But you cannot grow if you are still living in your sin. You cannot grow as a Christian if you have some sin in your heart. By the way, God wants your whole heart. God doesn't want half your heart. God doesn't want three quarters. God wants your whole heart. And there may be someone in here today who's hiding the hidden sin. There may be someone in here today who lives another way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and comes to church as a Christian who think they're all good, they're all great. No, what's going to happen someday is that you have put your seed on a rock, and the devil's going to come one day, and the trials are going to come in your life one day. Something's going to happen to you, and you are going to be swallowed up into this world. That's what's going to happen. You have got to quit your sin. Brother, what can you say? Take your sin and take a knife to it. Go for the jugular on your sin. Get rid of it. Get rid of the sin. Don't let it linger in your life. It stinks to God. It stinks to us. Sin is not something that is good. God wants you to put your seed into the ground so that you can grow as a Christian. But if you have some sort of sin, you have some sort of adulterous living, homosexuality, lying, cheating, your tongue, whatever it is, you have got to put that under subjection. Now, I'm not saying everyone in here should, if you're a Christian, you should be perfect. I'm not saying that. But if you have willingly known sin that you do over and over and over, and you don't have any remorse for that, you are putting your seed not on good soil. You've got your seed on good soil, but you're not putting your seed rooted and grounded into the soil. You see, you're going to be a stagnant Christian. You know what happens to water when it's stagnant? Algae. Algae happens. You look at a pond or a lake or something that's just sitting there, and it's just nasty, full of weeds and nastiness. The same thing's going to happen to your life if you don't get your sin out of your life. The sin is what held me to be condemned to hell. My sin, when Jesus Christ paid on that cross, I was heading for a place called hell. And you were too, the same as I. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he does not want you to live in your sin. God says, God forbid, we should not live in sin. And some people say, oh, you know, Brother Titus, it's all under the blood. It's under the blood. You know, just go ahead, live your life however you want it. Just do with your sin. Have no remorse for sin. But Jesus has paid for it, and Jesus has paid for it. But if there's no remorse for your sin, God says, God forbid, I don't want that to happen. You just because you're a Christian, just because I paid for your sin doesn't mean you should still be living in it. Doesn't mean you still should be doing those drugs. Doesn't mean you should be still drinking that alcohol. God forbid. God does not want you to do that. Some fell on a rock, but they withered because they had sin in their life. They were saved, but they got out of church because they had something in their heart that they did not want to give to God. They had something in their life that they said, God, I'll give you all of this. I'll give you all this. But this one thing you can't have. God says, I don't want that. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your time. All He wants is for you to be saved. All He wants is for you to just give Him your heart. That's all for God wants. That's all that God wants for us. But some fell on a rock and withered away because it lacked conviction, because it lacked, there was sin in their life. Another seed here. Some fell around thorns and were choked. Verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. I think of this seed as being a saved seed, someone who has put themselves in the soil. But the problem is it's not their sin that's the problem. It's the pleasures of life that's their problem. It's the money situation is their problem. Where they live to work instead of work to live. There's a reason why our country is so messed up nowadays. It's because this is what our country is this seed right here, some that fell among thorns and were choked. It's because we have lived our lives full of pleasure instead of godliness. We have been filling our stadiums every Sunday full of people, millions and thousands of people who watch a guy throw some pigskin 100 yards and some other guy catch it, but our churches are empty. Why? Because America's filling, we're full of pleasure. Same thing of Rome was. They watched people kill each other in the Colosseum, full of pleasure. Full of pleasure, full of something that I want to do. Well, God, I don't need you. I can do this. I don't need you. I want to do this. I want to live my life. Think about it, Las Vegas. People want to go there. I have no desire to go there. I have no desire to walk into, it's called the Sin City capital of America. Why would I want to go there? But you know why people go there? It's because they want pleasure. They want immorality. They want drugs. They want the things of this world. They want to not give their life to God, but they want to be choked on the thorns. They've planted their life. They've been saved, but they maybe say, I got to work this job to pay my bills, but it interferes with my church time on Sunday. Someday you're going to grow up and those thorns are going to choke you. Don't work that job that'll say, exclude God, but work this, you can pay. Hey, God will take care of you. God will take care of your bills as long as you're doing what's right and working hard. And I'm not saying don't get a job. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God will take care of you if you put Him first. Put Him first in your life. Don't be like that seed that falls along the thorns and are choked because you want the pleasures. Why would you want the pleasures of sin for a season when you could have the gifts of God for a lifetime? Why would you want that in your life? Many of us Christians in here who, and this is not, I'm just not talking to the unsaved crowd, I'm talking to the Christian in here too. You've got some sin in your life, you've got some thorns in your life, you've got some things in your life, you have filled your life with more pleasurable things than godly things. The world has affected your mind. The world has gotten to your mind. The devil has gotten to your mind. And they have said, you don't need church. You don't need prayer. You don't need to be grounded in the Bible. You can live your life how you want it to be. And it's all covered by Jesus' blood. You can do whatever you want to be. Hey, you're going to be just like that seed when they grow up. You're going to be choked by the thorns. You're going to be choked. Gone. I would never throw out a seed into a thorn bush or a weed where weeds are at. No, you got to pluck those weeds out of your life. You got to get those weeds out. You got to throw them out of your life. Just like that sin, you got to get it out. And my fleshly desire wants to have pleasure. It wants to, if I let my flesh go the way I want it to, I would be sitting at home watching the football game rather than coming to church. That's just the truth of how it is, how we all are. We're all that way. We all have that fleshly desire, but you have got to put that fleshly desire under Jesus Christ. You have got to put it under your sin. You have got to get rid of your sin so that you are not like that seed that grows up and is choked from the pleasures of this life. Don't be like that seed. Don't be like the one that fell on a rock. Don't be like the one that withered away because it had sin in its life. And don't be like the one that had it because you wanted to live for pleasure. You wanted to live for yourself. You wanted to do what you wanted to do and exclude God. Some, there's another seed here, some fell on good ground. Let's look at verse 15 first. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under his bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, and they which enter in may see the light. Some fell on good ground. We've got some Christians here today who have fallen on good ground. And when they're on that good ground, they have told themselves, I'm not going to live in my sin because I don't want to lack the moisture that I need to grow. Some of them have said, I am not going to fall on the rocks. I'm going to be saved. I am not going to get devoured by the devil. I'm not going to get devoured by him. I want to live my life for Jesus Christ. I am not going to fall among the thorns that are choked. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to plant my feet upon a solid ground, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to grow in the soil, and I'm not going to let the pleasures take me away from the path that I'm down. I'm not going to let the sin consume me and bind me that has been binding me for years. I'm going to break those chains. I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be that seed that plants on good ground. And trust me when I say this, there are some amazingly godly people who I know who have planted their seeds when they were young, and they have grown up into big, humongous trees who are planted. Now, I've seen the tornado that came through here in 2013, and I've seen those houses that were just completely leveled. I mean, just as far as I could see, just leveled. Many of y'all have seen that and known that. But there's every other house, there was a huge tree. And I look at those trees, and those trees, you know, the branches were ripped off and all that, but the root of that big old oak tree or that big old whatever tree it was, it stayed. That wind was not strong enough to push that tree down. That wind was not big enough to force it to come down. And the same thing for us in our Christian day and lives is that we need to grow into those big trees so that when the devil comes, he cannot push us over. So that when the trials come, he doesn't push us over and say, I want you to do this bad thing. I want you to do this wrong thing. You can skip church one Sunday. That's okay. No, we needed to be like seeds that fall on the good ground and who do not let the devil push us down. Now you say, Brother Titus, I'm a new Christian. Maybe I just got saved. Maybe I haven't grown as much. Well, I'm telling you today, it takes one day at a time to grow. It takes one day at a time for those trees to grow. A tree's not going to go from one day, you know, a seed to a big, humongous tree. It's going to take time. But I'm telling you today is be that person who just is consistent with Jesus Christ. Be that person who's consistent on your walk with God. Be that person who's consistent with church. And you will see growth. You will see growth not in yourself, but in your children. You'll see growth in others around you and seeing people saved. Be that person who says, I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to tell someone about Jesus Christ because I want to be rooted and grounded in the soil. I don't want the devil to blow me over one day. I don't want to be gone and out of church living a wicked life. I want to live my life in a good soil, and I want to be the best person that I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we need more of today. We need more Christians who will stand up and who will say, no, I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm not going to give in to his lies. I'm not going to give in to the pleasures of this life that he's offered me. You know, I've seen some, why would I, you know, you see Hollywood movie stars. They give their whole entire lives to sell their body to a screen. Why? It's because they're living in the pleasures of their sin. They're living in the pleasures of this life. They say, I make money. I don't need God. I make enough money. And that's all I need. That's good for me. But they're living their lives only for a moment. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. It's this much. That small, and it's gone. It's like a vapor of smoke, just gone. That's how long your life is. But heaven will last for forever. Hey, there ain't no Hollywood movie star that's going to get a trophy in heaven for being on a movie, cussing and screaming. There ain't going to be no basketball superstar in heaven that says, oh, LeBron James is here. Look at all these trophies I have for you. Nope. But there are going to be people in heaven who when you stand before, some of them stand before God, and God looks at them and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at your mansion I got for you. Look at all these trophies I've gotten for you. Look at this place that you have. You can spend with, you see your family and friends and people here that you've, look at all the souls over here on this side that you have helped win to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not burning in an eternal hell because of you, because you went, because you told them about Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't live your life for the pleasures of this world. Don't live your life. Don't keep your life living in that sin that you have. I don't want you to be a stagnant Christian, to just stay where you're at. But fall on the good ground. Fall on that good soil where you can be planted, where you can spring up your tree and you can grow so that someday when the devil comes to you, you know that you are grounded and rooted in God's truth. Every single day I try to find something. I do my own studies about stuff, and I study out different religions. I study out why I believe the Bible. Why is the Bible true over other stuff? Why, you know, and I think to myself, you know, I want to know why I believe what I believe. You know, my coworkers have been asking me more and more questions about it. They've been asking me, you know, stuff about this. What do you think about this? Well, you know, what if the Bible was just man up to, you know, and I have to be ready for when they do that. And the same thing for you today. You have got to get grounded. You have got to get rooted in the Bible and know what you believe and why you believe it. I can't study the Bible for you. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to study out why you believe the King James Version of the Bible. You've got to study out why salvation is the only way to heaven. If you don't know those things, you're not trying to get grounded and rooted in the soil. And you know, it's a way to just help. And I look at it as a way to just open up people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if your family or your friends come to you and ask you, you know, questions about the Bible, and you have no clue, you don't even know why, you don't even have a verse on why we believe we're going to heaven, they're probably going to turn away and say, oh, well, he don't know, so he's got the same thing I got, so I mean, there's no difference, so I might as well just live my life the way I want it to live. No, he wants you to be rooted and grounded and fall on that good ground so that you know what you believe and why you believe it. He wants you to be like that oak tree who when the winds come and they blow and they try to push it down, and when the devil comes and tries to test your life, he cannot push you down. Because you're rooted and grounded in God's Word. Now lastly, I'll say this. If there's anyone in this building who is not saved, that's the first step to growing your Christian life. You've got to know that Jesus Christ paid for your sin. You've got to believe on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can do that today. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now. You can do it today at the altar. You can do it to your Sunday school teachers. You can do it to myself. Anyone in this building would love to talk to you about how you can be saved. Anyone listening online would love to talk to you. We would love to have a phone call to a pastor of this church and tell you how you can be saved. But I'm telling you, stay in the soil. Don't get off track in your life and say, I want to live pleasurably. I want to do what I want to do. I want to buy what I want to want and do what I want to do. Stay in the soil. Don't be like that seed who has some sort of sin in his heart and he's not giving it to God. He's playing tug of war with God. And he's saying, I can't give that up, God. You've got to give that up in order for your Christian life to grow.